I consider myself a Jesuit, a recruit, new in the Lord, and sometimes it's a little bit embarrassing to stand in front of you, look at some of the seasoned workers of the Lord. But anyway, His grace is sufficient. Now the song we sang this morning was really an encouragement. You know that song that Richard Haynes and his family were singing this morning? And it says that when I say cannot, then he say, oh yes, you what? You can. So that was really an encouragement. And you know, after listening to Brother Kong Monday and Tuesday for the Ohio and yesterday for the lands, and I came to the conclusion, I think the best thing for me is just to disqualify myself. But brothers and sisters, we are called. That's the whole thing. I'm called and you're called. And there's no way we can say no to the Lord. We are His. We are called to serve and there's no way out. So the sooner we learn to serve Him, the better. So should we just look a few portions of scriptures, please? Can we turn to 1 Corinthians 4? We'll read verse 1 and 2. Let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries above. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. Now, the NIV has a different way of saying it, and it reads this way. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must be found faithful. Then can we turn to John, Gospel of John, chapter 3, and we'll read 26, verse 26 and verse 27. Gospel of John 3, 26 and 27. And they came to John and said to him, Rabbi, he who was with you beyond the Jordan, to whom you have bore witness, behold, he is baptizing, and all are coming to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing unless it has been given him from above. And let's turn to John 13. John 13, we'll read from verses 3, 4, and 5. John 13, 3, 4, 5. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God, and was going back to God, rose from supper, and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself about. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, and wiped them with the towel with which he was girded. And let's go to verse 12. And so when he had washed their feet and taken his garments, he reclined at the table again and said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me Lord and teacher, and you are right, for so I am. If I am then the Lord and teacher, wash your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I give you an example, that you also should do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, neither is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. And then finally, we'll turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Two phrases from Hebrews chapter 3. A phrase from verse 5 and verse 6. Hebrews 3. Now Moses was faithful in all his house, God's house, as a servant. And then the next phrase, Christ was faithful as a son over his house. Whose house we are. Brothers and sisters, the topic this afternoon is about this administering the church. And this word administering or administer to me is sort of a high sounding word. Administrator. It's really quite official in its title. But I think we can put it more in a more scriptural way, is how to be servants of Christ and stewards of the mystery of God. How to be servants and stewards of the mystery of God. Now this church, this word church, as the way I understand it, is not a good translation from the original Greek. Even though it's not a good translation, but throughout the century, this word church has been abused and misused. You often heard people say, my church, or that church, or we go to church. If you go this way and that way, you know, and you'll find a church there. We often use that. If you graduated from a seminary or what Ben would say a cemetery, then you will have the privilege or right to take a church. My church, your church, that church. And there are those who have the qualification to take a church. I was told about a scribe in the Philippines. They had a question-answer period with him. And one of the brothers asked him pointedly this question. Brother Scott, how do you consider a church as a church? What is a church? And he paused for a few seconds and he responded this way. Is a church is an assembly of God's people where the headship and authority of Christ is established and operative. Let me repeat it again. A church is an assembly of God's people where the headship and authority of Christ is established and operative. That is the church according to the scripture. Christ is the head. And we are the body. Now we can put it another way. Wherever the church, wherever the headship of Christ and authority of Christ is established, there is the church. There is the church. Because the head cannot be operated without the body. And the body cannot function without the head. So it's a matter of life. It is not an organization. It's life. Now, if the headship of Christ is established and his authority is established and operative, then we know for sure that that church is responding to the head, is coordinating with the head, is agreeing with the head, is in harmony with, in short, one with the head. You cannot separate the head from the body or body from the head. The two are one. So, therefore, it's a living organism. So, I think that is very important. When we consider this church, we know it's not a place where you have four walls and with steps and steeple and, with pews and pulpits. It's not that. It's where Christ is head, where his headship and authority is established and operated. That is the church we are talking about this afternoon. Now the next thing is this matter of ministering or administering. What do we mean by administering the church? Now, to be an administrator, you have to be given something or entrusted with something to administer with. Ordinarily, in most places, in most churches, people are kept busy with programs, projects, things to do. But for those who are in responsibility, the Lord entrusted with something that's very precious and very dear to His heart, His redeemed people. For us to care, to feed, to nurture, to protect, to lead, to guide. In other words, it is not an easy task. If the Lord is not the head, and to give direction, there's nothing we can do. Now, to me, to feed, to guide, to care, to protect the Lord's people, the sheep of God, is very, very vital and very, very important. But I think there's something more than that. I think to be a administrator of the church of God is to administer the church in such a way so that the headship and authority of Christ can be brought into view. In other words, when we administer the church, it's not to administer to people. It's simply to bring in the Lordship of Christ. To bring in His headship among His people corporately. So in other words, for the headship of the Lord Jesus to be operated and His authority to be established, the church has one lesson to learn, and that is a lesson of total submission to the head. And that's the hardest lesson for all of us. Because you have your ideas. I have my ideas. How a church ought to run. We have programs and projects, things that we think we ought to do. But for instance, the lesson as the church, the body of Christ, I think that one lesson we learn, individually as well as together, corporately, is how to submit and how to obey. It's through the church obedience and submission that the headship and authority can be manifested. Because there's no one to challenge Him. We simply allow Him to be the head. As our brother Paul says, His government, His authority is established. He's in full control. Now, when we touch this ministering the church, we touch this matter of authority. Yeah, to be the head is to be an authority. There is a brother in our fellowship. His daughter, Vicky, about 4 years old, is very, very bright. Very bright. One day, while they were eating, and she stood up, and she said to the family, she said, "I'm not afraid of anyone." And then the father said to her, he said, "Now, aren't you afraid of God?" She said, "No." He said, "I'm with His children." Now, as children, we don't afraid of our parents, you know, because there's a love relationship. Then he said, "Aren't you afraid of me, your daddy? Because when you were bad, I take you into the bathroom, I spank you." And she said, "Right, that's right." He said, "But when you took me to the bathroom, you spanked me because it was when I was bad. It's okay. It's okay." Now, brother and sister, there is love, but it's also what? Discipline. When it comes to discipline, you see, authority is behind it. Love is behind it. Now, when the two sons of Zebedee, when they came to the Lord and they asked for those two places of authority, one on the right of the Lord, one on the left of the Lord, and both of them, I'm sure we know that they were very much aware of this matter of authority. Some of when they follow the Lord Jesus, they know this matter of authority is a very important thing. And so they came to the Lord, and they came to the right person, and they asked the Lord to grant them one to sit on the right one, to set them the limit. And the Lord did not say they were asking for the wrong thing. The Lord did not say they were asking for the wrong thing. The Lord simply said, can you drink the cup that I drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism with which I'm baptized? That's all the Lord answered. And their reply was, yes, we are able. And the Lord answered again. He said, yes, you shall drink the cup that I drink, and you will be baptized with the baptism which I'm baptized. But it's not for me to give you this place or that place. It's reserved for those who've been prepared for. So apparently, brother and sister, there is such thing as authority. You know? And the only thing that we know is that those who are really in authority, they don't know they're in authority. Because right after this matter of John and James came to the Lord immediately following him said, the Gentiles, they have a different way of ruling. Earthly way. And he said, we, you as God's people, you, my own, you should be different from them. The way we're recognizing authority and the way the world recognizing authority are two totally different. Two different spheres, two different systems, two different kingdoms, contrary one to another. And we heard again this week, those two systems, those two kingdoms can never mix. There's no compromise. And the Lord said, to be great is to be what? To be a servant. And to be first is to be a slave of all. And the Lord gave himself as an example. He said, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to what? To serve others. And to give his life as a ransom for many. So, brothers and sisters, that's what we learned from the scripture. To serve is to be nothing, to be a slave. Now, the next question is, who can serve? Who is qualified to serve? Now, we very can serve. No one is qualified. No one is qualified. You know, I think for those who are serving the Lord, we always have this, paradox. In one sense, we know we are called to serve. And we know we should serve. And yet, in the deep down in our spirit, there is that same thing that we are not able. I cannot. And I think this too, the paradoxes will go through for the rest of our life. In one sense, Lord said, you are to serve me. I redeem you from to be my own. I deliver you out of Egypt. I brought you out here that you might serve me. And yet, on the other hand, there is that consciousness that we are not able. And therefore, if there's any ministry, any service, it's not of ourselves. It is Him. Now, let's move on to a couple of things that might help us in this matter of learning how to serve in the church and brothers and sisters. The first thing I believe, brothers and sisters, is this matter of our making ourselves available to the Lord. Availability. Or let's put it in the way, our heart of a true servant. The heart of a true servant. Now, Moses was a faithful servant. When the Lord told him to go to Pharaoh, he went to Pharaoh. When the Lord told him to do this, he did it. In the wilderness, the Lord said, you come up to the mountain, he went up to the mountain. The Lord said, you go down, he went down. The Lord said, you tell this to Aaron and to his sons and to Israel, and he did. And because of his faithfulness, he was given that heavenly pattern of the tabernacle. And it was Moses' time was at God's disposal. Whenever God wants him, he's there. Now, in this country, time is a rare commodity. Rare commodity. And I think I mentioned this once before. Someone told me that when you were in England, you walk. And when you came to Canada, you run. And when you came to USA, you're breathless. You have no time for anything. You have no time for anything. So, brothers and sisters, for those who want to take the place of responsibility and serve the Lord, we must be willing to give our time totally to the Lord. Totally to the Lord. If we don't give our time to the Lord, to seek his mind, to seek his, how can we lead others? You know, in Timothy and Titus, we are told those who are in the responsibility should be able to teach. If we are not taught by the Lord, how can we teach others? If we don't go to the Lord for direction, how can we direct others? It's impossible. We are blind leading the blind. And so, brothers and sisters, we must be willing to give our time to the Lord. Then we can give our time to the brothers and sisters. Now, of course, brothers and sisters in the fellowship, they give their time to the Lord. I'm sure they pray, they read their Bible, they come to the fellowship. But for those in this, we have to give more. I like what Brother Neil says. Those in responsibility, they are not perfect. They are not perfect. They are very ordinary brothers and sisters, but they were just those who were willing to give them more than the rest in the fellowship to the Lord. That's what the Lord requires. The Lord knows our frailty. He knows what we can, what we cannot. But for those who are in responsibility, we have to give a little more than the average brothers and sisters in the fellowship. We have to be a little bit ahead of them. Now, this matter of time is really something very vital. It's really a testing ground of our sincerity, our commitment. You know, the qualification for those in responsibility, they have to be disciplined people, be above reproach, sincere. Now, if you always come to a meeting late, after the prayer time or the fellowship already had begun, you came in and you are a responsible brother. For instance, that showed that you were not sincere. There is a lack of commitment in you. Now, I have seen this in many places. The brothers and sisters, they were there, and after the first song, and then the responsible brother, and they finally they walked in. It shows that there's something lacking there. There is lack of commitment. There's lack of sincerity. And because of that, we cannot be a good example for the provinces, and therefore the fellowship is weak. It's weak. So this matter of time is very, very important, brothers and sisters. We must be willing to give our time to the Lord, to wait upon him, to pray, to meditate on his will, to be instructed by him, and make ourselves available to the brothers and sisters. So time is a very important thing. Now, I heard once before, you're not going to have time. Because there are many legitimate requirements of this life. Especially, if you have a house. There are many things you have to do around the house. You look, something needs to be done. You look there, something needs to be done. You just have no time. Not only that, your wife will require your time. Your children also will require your time. And your profession also will require your time. And you yourself also will require some time for yourself. And you have no time for anything. So for us, we have to learn to what? We have to learn to buy time for the Lord. Redeem the time for the Lord. So the first thing I believe is this matter of time. Now the second thing is that we give ourselves to the Lord as individual. You know, I give myself to the Lord. But my wife, well, she can live her own life. My kids can do their own things. For instance, I believe there is a tremendous weakness in the church is because the family cannot come together to serve the Lord as a family unit. So for the brother who is in responsibility, I think it is the only right thing. Your wife may not be totally in agreement with you in the way that you serve the Lord and the way you're giving your time to the Lord. But nevertheless, you must offer her up to the Lord. You must offer your children up to the Lord for the ministry that you can render to the church to the Lord as a family unit. If the responsible truly loves his wife, I'm sure in his prayer he will offer his wife. He will offer his children to the Lord to serve as a unit. Because there is nothing more honorable than serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the Lord wants us to serve him as a family unit. Now we see that in the book of Genesis. You see, one of the Satan is always trying to divide. God always unites. Bring things together. He holds things together. But Satan is always trying to disintegrate, to divide. So when God brought Adam and Eve together, the first thing Satan took is trying to put a wedge between the husband and the wife. Adam blamed Eve for the fruit. A division between husband and wife. We should not allow that to happen. The Lord brought us together as one. We have to claim that for the Lord. Then the second thing is between the brothers. Immediately we see what happened in the book of Genesis. Cain and Abel, two brothers. And Satan is again trying to destroy that relationship. So Paul says, Satan is right here among us to destroy that relationship between husbands and wives as well as between the brothers. And we have to be on guard. So I believe for those in response, we must learn to offer our wives and our children to the Lord so that we can serve him as a unit. Because family is the smallest unit of the testimony of the Lord Jesus. Then the next thing, third thing is that we have to learn, brothers and sisters, to use God's blessing upon us as a blessing for the church. You know, we are all offsprings of Abraham. You know, and the Lord told Abraham that your offsprings will be a blessing, what? To the nations. So when God gives Abraham blessing, it's not just for Abraham to enjoy, so that he will bless others. So, for instance, for those who are in response, we must learn to bless others. You know, people go to church to be blessed. Isn't that true? And they often do. You know, oh, I was in such a place and I was blessed. Now, do you know why you were blessed when you go to church? Because there are those others who brought blessing to the church. We are to bring blessing to the church so the church will become a place of blessing. So we are all vessels of blessing. If there are more brothers and sisters who bring blessing to the church, those who come will be richly blessed. So brothers and sisters, we have to learn to bring blessing to the church. We have to learn to bring blessing to our brothers and sisters. Now, elders, responsible brothers, they are to be hospitable. You open your homes. Entertain brothers and sisters. If the church has no place to meet, you open your home for them to meet in your place. If the church has no place to have prayer meeting, you open your home to have prayer meeting in your church. And that's how we read in the book of Acts. Many churches began in homes. And when we meet in homes, there is really a home, really a family, homey atmosphere. You can sit close together. You can fellowship one another more intimately. When Brother Kong and I, we were in Florida, January, and we were Orlando. And this brother, he was telling us his recent experience. They had a group of mostly Chinese brothers and sisters, and they met in home, and the fellowship was sweet and intimate. It was growing. And so they decided that since we are growing, expanding, we need to have a place to meet. We need to have a place. And so they bought an old church. with pulpits and pews. And he taught the first time that they move into this, you know, so-called church with pews and platform. He said, it's 70% of the life of the church threw out the window. Because the moment you sit into a pew, we become very, very passive. We became very passive. We sit there and waiting for someone to get up there and minister to us. There is no participation anymore. There's no active participation from brothers. Everybody just go there and sit. So, brothers and sisters, I think we have to maintain that close atmosphere, and home is always a good place to begin. Home is always a good place to begin. And I remember one thing about being in homes. We will suffer much inconveniences, you know, for the host. You have to set up the chairs. You have to gather the song books. You have to vacuum the floor. You may even have to remove some of your precious ornaments, store them somewhere, just in case some of these little ones, they will come around and what happened to them. And I remember when we first opened our home for the brothers and sisters, I was, you know, in one sense it was a joy, but you know, there are inconveniences. And you were fearful, you know, if that piece of thing I brought from Taiwan, just in case one of those war ran into, what would happen to it? Those things happen. But brothers and sisters, the Lord helped us overcome. The Lord helped us overcome. And I remember one brother told me, he said, now you see that carpet, you just moved it in store, and now you opened your house for brothers and sisters to meet. And they troop in and troop out. You see, but remember, because you open your house for the Lord's people to use, and they use your carpet in and out, troop in every Sunday, in and out, especially winter sun or shiny sleep, or, you know, it's a, but remember, you see, if you don't open your house for the Lord, you will have to stop with that carpet for the rest of your life. Now, that carpet may not match your furniture, and you're stuck with it for the rest of your life. You look at it every day. But he said, if you use your house for the Lord and the truth in truth, the Lord will give you grace. Maybe you will change your carpet once in every 5 years. Now, that is something very, very encouraging. That's something very encouraging. For instance, it is true. He always gives us more than what we offer to him. Much, much more. Much, much more. So we need to make ourselves available to the Lord. Not just individually, our family, and all that is in our family. Because all that we have, they are his. So we should not hold anything back for the Lord and for his purpose. Now let's move on to the next thing. First we talk about this availability and heart of a servant. And the second thing is this acceptability. We do things not for doing things' sake. We're doing things so that we'll be acceptable in his sight. In other words, we do things to please him. Now, that is the heart of a true son. It's always to please the Father. That should be the thing that we need to cultivate. We serve as a servant, but we serve as a what? As a son. So Christ, as a son, he was faithful in his house. Now, brothers and sisters, you know, the Lord Jesus, when he was on earth, he did everything to please the Father. His aim was his delight, the Father's delight. And so when he was 12 years old, he declared, you know, when he went to the temple at the age of 12, and on their way home, the parents could not find him. They looked around, they went back to the temple, and they found him there. And they said, now, son, what are you doing to us? Now you knew the answer. He said, do you not know how I should be about what my Father's business? Or what in my Father's name? And brothers and sisters, since we are sons, our main business is to be about his business, is to be in his house. Not our personal business, not my house, but his house. Now, there's always temptation for those in leadership is to run things as though the church is something you were.
person.
There's always that danger. I'm very much aware of that. And I try to take precaution so that there'll be no misunderstanding, even though I don't have that intention in my heart. But I do what I can so that the others, brothers and sisters, and the people in our surrounding, they will not have the notion that that is so-and-so's church, so-and-so's meeting. But you cannot help it. Because in our fellowship, people say, oh, that is the Wu's church. They do that. But I kept telling brothers and sisters, it's not my church, it's not my meeting, it's the Lord's. It's just the Lord. And so, by the Lord's grace, He took me away from the fellowship almost once a year away, so the local brethren can assume responsibility and can exercise their gift and can function. So I think for those who are in leadership, we have to give room for the others to come into the place of leadership, or that we can serve the Lord together as a whole. Not just a few, but everybody. Now, the next thing is that serving the Lord, do things pleasing to Him, to the Lord. We have to tune our ears to the Lord. Because when you begin to do things in a fellowship, you'll receive many suggestions from the brothers and sisters. They will come say, now I think this will be a better way. And another person will say, I think this will be a better way. And there will be many, many suggestions. And you yourself sometimes think, oh, maybe this will be a better way. The brothers said, we need to tune our ears to the Lord. We need to learn to receive our direction from the Lord Himself. And therefore, we have to learn the lesson, the hard lesson, to say no to ourselves and always say no to the leading of the Holy Spirit. There's one thing I learned in Hong Kong when we were there in 1983. And our brother Shane, he said, no one can give us direction. No one. Only the Holy Spirit, through God's word, we can find direction. Brothers and sisters, they can only give us confirmation, but never direction. And I think that is one of the most important for those in leadership. We must always get our direction from the Lord, from the Holy Spirit, by waiting for Him, not listen to suggestions or on personal will. No one can give us direction. But brothers and sisters, they can give us confirmation, but not direction. Now, another temptation is that we often want to do things, you know, to please people. They approve. You know, when after you do something, you say, now, is it all right? Is it okay? You want to consult them. And it's all right. But we must not seek their approval. We must do all things to seek God's approval. Because God's way is often contrary to man's way. And for those who are in leadership, if we are our heart determined to please the Lord, we will suffer oftentimes misunderstanding and even rejection. That is the price we have to consider. If you are not willing to be rejected and oftentimes misunderstood by your brothers and sisters, you are not qualified to become a leader. It's hard because we all want people to say, you know, you're doing okay, you're doing fine. But we cannot please man, we can only please God. So God says we must learn to say no to ourselves. We must say no to many suggestions. We must only learn to get direction from the head. If the headship logic is to be established and operated, we must get an opportunity to show us His ways and His directions. And that will take time. It will take time. Now, throughout this week, we heard again and again, the Lord is not looking for successes. He's just looking for what's in our heart. He sees the heart. So, brothers and sisters, faithfulness is what He's looking for. Faithfulness, what's looking true to the Lord, is what He's looking for. And so don't be too ambitious. You know, we sometimes we are very ambitious.
but don't be ambitious. Just be faithful. Whatever the measure of grace has given to you, be faithful. And I like what Lion says, just be yourself. The Lord knows your capacity. Don't over demand yourself. Don't do what you cannot do. Be faithful with a little, and the Lord will increase His trust in you. Now, as we grow in the Lord, servants and sons, and then, of course, there's that friendship, there's that close fellowship. You know, we are not only servants. We are not just sons, but we're friends. You know, John 15, the Lord said, I won't call you slaves anymore, I call you friends. Because what I heard, what I learned from the Father, now I make it known to you. So as we grow into maturity, there is that intimate fellowship as a friend. And it was the Lord take us into His confidence. He shared the deep things of His heart with those who walk intimately with Him. So for instance, we need to learn to walk intimately with the Lord so that He can share whatever is inside with us. Now, the next thing is this matter of adjustability. Whether we are sons or servants, we need to learn to adjust to it. You know, we are people of habits. After we have done this thing for so many years and we get so used to it, and it's hard for us to shift gears again. You know. But our head is 11 years. He is bigger, much bigger, probably know He is. He is much bigger. And He always has something more. You know, the problem with those in leadership is that once we think are doing okay, we're so easily satisfied. And the Lord always brings us to a certain level in order to prepare to bring us to a higher level. So there's no such thing we have arrived. You know, we know what to do now. There's no such thing. So we must always give room for the Lord to do more, to show us more of Himself. So this matter of adjustability is absolutely important. I discover one thing: as we grow older, we are more, you know, we get more set in our ways. You know, we think we have the experience. We think we have a long history with the Lord. We know more than some of the younger brothers and sisters, and they should just listen to us. Do what we tell them to do. Brothers and sisters, it's not they in us, as we heard them today. We are together in this thing. So there should be adjustment between the older saints as well as the younger saints. Learn one from the other as we follow the Lord together. And so, as Brother Spock says, the sign of adjustability is always a sign of maturity. You know, when you are mature, you are always set in your way. You know, a youngster, when he wants a candy, he wants a candy. You cannot substitute candy with a fruit. You see, that's what I want. According to us, we grow in the Lord, we learn to make adjustments to the Lord Himself and to one another. And above all, to the Lord. Because He is so much bigger. He is so full, so vast. He is so small. And He wants to bring us to perfection and to fullness. Therefore, we have to do all the adjustments. We have to do all the adjustments. So, God, and so this we prepare to be adjusted. Not to be set in our ways. That is a danger. Once we set in our ways, we get into a rut. You know, and it's very difficult for us, for the Holy Spirit to shake us out of that fixed position. You know, there are those who are so sure. And I think there's a danger in that. We know, and yet we don't know. We are sure, and yet we are not always what? Sure. That's the way how we are being adjusted. So we need to learn to do that. It's very difficult, you know. I mean, in this world, you're sure, you know. But in our walk with the Lord, yes, we are sure, and yet at the same time, we are not very sure. We know, and yet we don't know. And even sometimes the thing we consider that we know and for sure, and it turns out to be not quite right. That's right. And that's how the Lord is teaching us, adjusting us. So we need to be prepared. Now, finally, brothers and sisters, the Lord and John 13 at the Last Supper, he rose from the supper. And he laid aside his garments. Now, brother and sister, food and clothing are the two most essential things of this life. Whether you are a medical doctor with big income, a school teacher with medium income, or with a secretary with little income, people say, now, what do you do? He says, oh, I'm just making a living. Everybody is making a living. Food on the table, clothing where? On your back. Now, that is legitimate. That is the right thing to do as a human being. That is what a responsible human being ought to do. Work so that you have food on the table, clothing for yourself, and also food for your family, clothing for your family. Now, the question is for the church, in the church. Who is to live in the church? You know, the Lord didn't finish his supper, apparently, because he rose from the supper, and he didn't finish his food. He didn't finish it. The food was still there, because later on he again put on the other garment and he reclined on the table again. So, for instance, many times we serve the Lord, we have believed the thing that's legitimate, even to our own very livelihood. Can we really trust the Lord for it? Now, eating food is really the test. Take care of our own livelihood. Now, sometimes we are more concerned of our own livelihood than the testing of the Lord Jesus. You know, there are some people, they have to work on Sunday to make the extra money for their family. They do. And I remember there one story about a barber in England, and he always opened his barber shop on Sunday. Because on Sunday is the best day, because everybody's, you know, off, and so you can get your hair cut. So Sunday is his business day. But after his conversion, the Holy Spirit seems to be, you know, doing something with him. Sunday I should do with God's people, worshiping in the house of God, you know. And so he said, now if I don't work, and he was calculating, he said, I'll be short of this much money, you know. And he was very, 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 he was struggling. Should I close my shop on Sunday, or shall I continue opening on Sunday? If I open on Sunday, I can meet with the Lord's people. And there's something inside prompting him that he should go ahead and shut the door. And he did. And the Lord said, when he closed his shop on Sunday, he said he couldn't handle the rest of the 6 days. People just kept coming in. So therefore, you see, we all think about what we should eat, what we should clothe, and that's what the Gentiles. And the Lord said, if you seek my kingdom and my righteousness, all these things will be added to you. You see, the Lord's house must come first before our own dwellings. When we honor him, he will honor us. So, brothers and sisters, so we must learn to lay aside, you know, rise up from the supper if necessary to serve our brothers and sisters. Now, in this country affluent, we rarely go hungry. But I know in other countries, those serve the Lord, they go hungry. They go without a meal just to be the Lord's people. So I think there's something for us to do. Now the next thing is lay aside his garment. Of course, that speaks for the Lord. He lay aside his glory. He put on the flesh, became servant. And brothers and sisters, that is what we ought to do too. Now we are living in a so-called classless society. You know, and we are all equal. You know, people say, you know, all men are created equal. But most people don't think so. You know, if you are a certain class of executive, you think you're different from the average worker. I mean, we are conscious of that. And that is a temptation. That is a temptation. Because of my station in life, you know, and for me to go and visit this so-and-so is below my wealth, my dignity, below my social standing. God says, the Lord must get rid of all those things, must redo us to a servanthood, to a true slave, then we can serve others. So God says, we should never consider our social station, you know, my educational background, my income, my associates. We must let all those things, lay them aside. As long as we hold to those things, our social standing, all those things, we can never serve the Lord freely. We can never serve the Lord freely. We must let all those things. Now there's also the problem of ethnic problems too, that we also have to be, oh, we have some Chinese brothers and sisters here. There's a tendency for the Chinese brothers and sisters just to be by themselves. I can see this reason for, because the language problem, the brothers and sisters, we are God's people. We are to serve all God's people, not any particular ethnic group or racial group, because they are our brothers and sisters. And we are His people. Now, I know it's very difficult for some of the Chinese brothers and sisters to overcome, because they want to maintain that racial, you know, identity. And when they preach the gospel, they want to preach to the Chinese. And I think we ought to overcome that. We are His people. The body of Christ. There's no division. There's no distinction. We are His. So, brothers, we must learn to lay aside our comments, whether our social standing, our racial, whatever, let them aside. Then we can begin to serve them. Otherwise, how can we serve all? It's slightly to serve all. Now, that all is very inclusive. You cannot be selective about it. You see? So we have to learn to serve all. Not a selective group of people that we like to serve. You know, who we choose to serve. No. Our master is the one who decides who we serve. And he wants us to serve all. And then the next thing is to take up this towel. Lay aside and put something else. And this towel is to wash the other's feet and to bathe. Now, brothers and sisters, in our everyday experience, if you wash without wiping your feet or hands dry, you just feel uncomfortable. In fact, you feel awful. Washing is half of the ministry. We need the wiping to complete it. So, many brothers and sisters, they want to wash. The brothers and sisters, we only need to wipe dry. So there's no residue there. Everything's quite clean. So you finally feel that you are truly refreshed. That's how we should be refreshed, brothers and sisters. Not just love, but with deed. Now, many brothers and sisters, they have a desire to serve the Lord and love the Lord. They always say, the spirit is willing and the flesh is what? It's always weak. Now, I sympathize with that. And I think Father Nee put it in a very beautiful way. You can never love the Lord without your willingness to deny yourself. Many of us, we want to love the Lord, but we don't want to what? Deny ourselves. We don't want to get up from the supper. We don't want to lay aside our garments. We don't want to what? Put on the towel. We want to wash people's feet, but we don't want to build ourselves with them. So God said, for those who are in responsibility, we need to learn to lay down, to wipe, to wash, to wipe, and to love the Lord. On the other hand, we must be prepared to deny ourselves. We cannot love without denying. So it's voluntary, it's sacrificial, and it's all on love. And then it will be a sweet aroma to the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, you know, the fellowship we have in Glasgow is very, very young. Very few. But I'm very thankful there are hearts that are eager to serve the Lord. Now, I'm not saying we know how, but we are learning. And I think as long as we live, we are learning. As long as we live, we have that desire to serve the Lord. And yet somehow we keep crying inside and say, I'm not able. And you know, it is so good. It's when I say I cannot, then the Lord say what? Now, brothers and sisters, let me just share this with you. In the house of the Lord, there's no spectators sitting in the back seat. we are all participants. Everyone in the family should be an active participant in the service of the Lord. Everyone is important. I remember one brother in the Philippines, he said, I'm not very gifted. I cannot sing. That's why our brother said, he said, he cannot sing. He sang very well. I cannot sing. I cannot preach. I cannot do anything. But he said, you know, I'm just like a little toe, small toe in the body of Christ. You know, it's just so useless. You know, the little small toe in the body of Christ. He said, I'm just like that. But he said, I cannot do anything. But without me, you are what? Incomplete. So just being there is also very important. You see, oftentimes we think, oh, they can do without me. What can I do? There's nothing I can contribute. That's a wrong attitude. Brothers and sisters, in the body of Christ, you are very, very important. Without you, we are incomplete. And there's a deep sense all the time in our prayer meeting Tuesday evening. If so and so is not there, if you are, there's something missing. There's just something missing. And when that person comes back, oh, what a rejoicing. And now he's with us. An added strength, an added encouragement that we can pray together. So, brothers and sisters, you all are very important. You may not have a special ministry, but you have a ministry. You may not have a very important place, but you also have a place. May not important to the brothers and sisters, but very important to the testament of the Lord Jesus, to the unseen world. Because that little toe, even though it's useless, makes the body one complete. So, brothers and sisters, I will encourage you, do not refrain from the assembly of the saints. Your presence is vital. So may the Lord help us. So to train to administer the church is simply make ourselves available to the Lord and make ourselves available to the brothers and sisters. It is to seek to do things acceptable in His sight, always to please Him, not to please man, but please the Lord. And learn to be adjustable, because none of us are perfect. And the transformation process is going on all the time. We are being changed from glory to glory. So, brothers and sisters, I just share this with you. Make ourselves available to you. It's costly. Seek to do things acceptable in His sight. And learn to be adjusted. You know, and when we adjust, we have to lay aside many of our own things. We have to. It's hard, but it's worth it. And I always think about the narrow gate. You know, people use the narrow gate as our initial salvation. You go into the, you know. And I think it could be applied even in our everyday Christian walk. If we want to walk with the Lord, enter into the narrow gate, we have to leave many of our baggages. Now, we cannot take them in. Things from the world we have to leave out. Things from the religious world we also have to leave out. In a sense, what gets through will be Christ Himself. Because only Christ can enter the narrow gate, and only Christ can walk in that straight path. You now can. We always look for the broad one, the wide gate, the Christ can. And that's where the soul is. So may the Lord help us. Make us willing. And just make us willing. And He's looking for willing hearts. He's looking for faith hearts. So may the Lord help all of us. So shall we just bow our heads? Our Father, we thank You for privileges to be called as Your servants. We thank You for honoring us to be called the sons of the living God. We thank You that You call us out of this world to serve You. And Lord, in the sense we know down deep in our heart, we know we cannot. We know we are not qualified. But You have called us to Yourself. And not only that, You have deposited Your very life in us, Lord, so that we can serve You with Your life. We pray that You will give us faith, Lord, to trust You, believing that what You want us to do, You also give us the grace. And Lord, we just pray that we be those who are willing to make ourselves available to You. to commit ourselves to, not just ourselves individually, those who are serving you, but our wives, our family, Lord, we may serve you as a unit. We pray that you use all the blessings you show upon us to bless others. Lord, make us those who are truly committed to your purpose and to your testimony. We pray that you, that the Holy Spirit give us that desire, Lord, to do things that are pleasing in your sight. Lord, not our own will, but your will. Seek to know your mind, your way, your direction for your people. And Lord, above all, we do pray as we follow you that you will help us, Lord, to learn to adjust to your perfect ways, to your direction. Lord, we know there is so much you want to teach us. Your ways, it's above our way. We just pray that you will keep us in that humble place. Lord, willing to be taught, willing to be adjusted, flexible in your hand, for you to mold, to form Christ into us. Lord, that we may be a blessing to others. Lord, again, we cry to you, Lord, that without you, we can do nothing. But we thank you when we say we cannot, you assure us that you can. Lord, that is our only hope. So we just commit one another into your loving hands. Lord, do your work in each assembly. Raise up those who are in responsibility. Lord, give them wisdom. Give them direction. How to lead your people. Lord, we know you are doing the work in these last days in many places and throughout this land. We just pray that wherever your people are find, we pray that the headship and authority of the Lord Jesus will be established and operated, and that your name will be glorified. We give you all the praise, all the thanks, in the name of Jesus.